Well, it's great to be with you this evening. I really consider this the group that I'm probably most connected to since I'm really speaking across Asia among the younger generation. 2019, a pastor in Hong Kong, his name is Seth Kim, he invited me to preach to his church. His church was all made up of 20-year-olds. And this was a time right in the middle of the riots that were taking place in Hong Kong. And so at Polytech University, which is where I was supposed to preach to his church of young people of 20-year-olds, right outside my hotel room, as I was looking out from my window, I was seeing hundreds of students were chasing and being chased by police, running around. And so I said, something is going on. During the day, I walked downstairs and I walked outside and I went to the front lines. I was noticing everyone was wearing these masks and so on. And I saw this younger generation. Now, these are like 14, 15, 16, even 17, 18-year-old young people sitting in the front with umbrellas, weathering acid water being shot at them, and they would sometimes get wet. They would then be taken to the back and tried to be cleansed up, but they were willing to risk their life for a political reason. And at the same time, I was preaching that evening to about 200 young people about giving your life to missions. And I realized that something was going on with this younger generation. This younger generation, especially the Gen Zs, is they're a little different than even the millennials, as some of us here, and I'm considered Gen X, but even the boomers, there's something about, I noticed about the Gen Zs, are very idealistic. But if you give them a cause worth dying for, they would be willing to live for. And so I started this journey with this Pastor Seth, and we started to bring about young people from all across Asia. And we said, we were thinking, if all across Asia, Sri Lanka, Nepal, Bangladesh, young people were coming and overthrowing governments, dying for the sake of a political cause, let's get the church engaged in mission. And we know that the mission of God is going to take a cost. Many of us may or may not live, and I was willing to give that strong message, let's lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel. And so we're going to go and take a look at probably the apostle who exemplifies this. We know Jesus Christ did this, but Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24 is what, when Paul talks about, when it talks about him, he says this, prison and hardship are facing me. I consider my life worth nothing. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus have given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. You see, as you know, I've been preaching this morning, God is a global God. He's not a local deity. He desires that the whole nations, all the nations, go and make disciple of all nations come to him. He also knows it's not just one local. It's not just Jerusalem, it's not just London, it's not just Judea and Samaria, it's not just New York, it's not just Beijing, it's to the ends of the earth. There is an ethnic as well as a geographical spread of God's ultimate plan for the gospel to be extended. And however, the places remaining that need the gospel the most requires a cost. Now, I know this, I brought several pastors to New York City, and they were able to see a church there reaching out to the 200 nations in New York City. And they were saying, you know, we are, you know, following the Great Commission, going and making disciples of all nations. And no doubt, there's all nations. I look at here, and I'm probably here with 70. I'm sure a lot, many nations represented in this congregation alone. And I'm sure there's many people in London. I think there's about 160 nations just here in this city. And no doubt, God wants us to reach this city. But there's nations without any gospel, without any churches, and to get to those places requires a cost. It requires a laying down. And God sometimes chooses a few. He has chosen the Apostle Paul, and he says this in Acts chapter 9. He says, I have chosen my instrument. He will suffer for my name. We had the chance to visit Turkey. My wife and I, we traveled to Turkey, and we were able to see the ancient city of Ephesus. I recommend all of you to go and see. Of course, you can visit the seven churches of Revelation. Ephesus is the first city. It's just an amazing sight to see all the ways that the Greco-Roman world, they had the greatest libraries. They had worship of the goddesses. But in that city, there was a Christian witness. And we were able to see how Christians in that time lived in the pagan world. And they were being persecuted, not just by the pagan Roman, Greco-Roman world. They were also persecuted by the Jews as well. So there were a sect of young a people in Ephesus being attacked. But we were able also to visit the place where the Apostle John took care of the mother of Jesus, Mary. As we know in Revelation, John writes it from the island of Patmos, and most likely historians say because that was an island that people were exiled to, most likely John was in Ephesus and was exiled after at an old age to write to the island of Patmos. But it's just giving you a picture of this anti-Christian environment, this persecution coming from Jews and Gentiles. And in those days, Paul and the apostles were living in a place that was not safe. It required a cost. Go where there is no gospel. This is the command that we have actually, the vision that we have challenged young people all across Asia. And we take this from the Apostle Paul, his life. He says this at the end of Romans. He says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ, his name was not known. And I plan to do so when I go to Spain. And I hope to see you while passing through to have you assist me on my journey there after I enjoyed your company for a while. So see, when Paul was writing the book of Romans, he was telling them, I have already spread the gospel across Asia Minor, in Ephesus, in Colossae, in Philippi, in Corinthians, in Athens, in Macedonia. And now it's my, I'm going to go to Jerusalem first, but after that, I'm going to head where? To Spain. Why? Because that was the furthest region in those days. That was the UPG. That was the unreached people group. Those from Spain at those times did not hear the gospel. So he wanted to give his life to go where there was no gospel. But to do that, he knew there would be a cost. And that is the theme that we have with Arise Asia. And since I mentioned we've had now about, this is an older slide, but we're now in 11 countries and 30 cities with about 12,000 participants. We're challenging them this message, go where there's no gospel. It's going to require a cost. And people are responding. Why? Because I believe there's something about this generation, Gen Zs. You give them a cost. You give them a goal that is beyond themselves, a cause worth dying for. They are willing to respond. Acts chapter 20, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim
is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. We held an Arise Myanmar. Now, many of you might have been just hearing Myanmar, but do you know that Myanmar has been under civil war? 80% of the country is fighting with one another. But somehow we got in touch with this pastor from Yangon, and he said, yes, we can maybe do an Arise Myanmar, but let's just start small because, you know, the week that we were choosing, a few weeks before that, people were shot right there and died in front of the place that we were going to be at. And so I was thinking, do we want to do an Arise conference among young people in Myanmar at this very dangerous stage? But the pastor was praying about it and said, I think this is still doable. So we rented a space in a hotel of about, he said, we'll start with 200. Now, we got four speakers, and we put posters out, and they were all American speakers. Caucasian, David Platt was one of them, and so on. And the reason why was we wanted the government to realize that this is going to be at a hotel with Americans involved. So, because to come to this event, four young people from all across Myanmar, because the pastor would call his friends from all across Myanmar, send your young people. When they were sending their young people onto buses to our Arise event, parents were worried that maybe a military envoy may come and arrest these young people and take them and draft them to the army. For them, the cost of even attending this event was something that they may have not been able to see the kid again. And I was wondering, is this the right time to do a mission conference? I mean, let's wait till it's safe. Let's wait till it's, you know. But what I learned when I was a missionary in China, you have to be wise, but you also have to take risks, but you have to trust your local partners. And when the local pastor said, I believe it's the right thing, we said, you know, we're going to trust God at this time, and we move forward. And the first night from 200, all of a sudden, when, you know, they found out that we're having this event at this hotel, 500 people showed up the first day, and then, you know, word got around the second day, 700 showed up and filled every single room. And now, it was 16 and 17-year-old young people coming. Why? Because once they hit 18, they would be drafted into the army. And so most of the 18-year-olds would try to flee the country. So we wanted to get them while they were 16 and 17. So once they hit 18, they're going to scatter into Thailand and to the rest of Asia. But we wanted to give them the gospel message that needs to go to the ends of the earth, that as they travel out, they would bring the gospel wherever they went. And we saw God move in the young people there. Remember Ed and Iron Judson, who brought the gospel, the first North American missionary of five young people who left the Boston shores, arrived into Myanmar, into Burma. He was arrested and he was put in prison, hung upside down for a year and a half. His wife had to go into the city, into the town, to beg for food so she can come and feed her husband who was suffering in prison. But as they were thanking the missionaries up there, they gave us the Bible and in Burmese, and we opened up the Bible and we saw the name Adoniram Judson. He translated the scriptures, and almost every Christian in Burma can give their thanks to the missionaries who came, laid down his life, suffered, but brought the gospel to the Burmese and to Myanmar. And we're sharing that same cost of the gospel, the cost of missions. When young people see that there was a cost for the gospel to come to my country, I'm now willing to bring that gospel to the ends of the earth. And it may mean my life. When I was serving in China, we would hear about these young people. There were about 9 young people at the time. This is 1940s. Mark Ma was a vice president of a seminary. The president was Dr. Taylor, James Hudson Taylor's grandson. And he caught a vision for the Chinese church to send missionaries back to Jerusalem. And young people caught that vision. Young people started to head westward. They would just leave their homes and start to head westward, bring the gospel to heading toward Jerusalem. And in 1949, about 100 young people, I think it was 60, 70, up to maybe 100 young people left their homes, arrived into Xinjiang, northwest China, right during the time when Mao Zedong and the Communist Party came in and took over the whole country. Now imagine this. These young people caught a vision to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem. They arrive into Xinjiang and they get arrested by the Communist Party. The leaders are put in prison. And 7 of the leaders die in prison. The church gets completely wiped out. And you look back and you say, that was a complete waste. A complete waste of people's lives. A complete waste. The cost of missions is just too much. But you know, in God's eternal purpose, in his eternal plan, he sees it all. And one of the gentlemen, his name is Samuel Chow, survives 31 years in prison. And in 1990, when Mao Zedong comes into power, he starts to release the Christians from prison. He comes out of prison, and the house church movement invites him to speak. And you would think he would talk about his life in prison, suffering for the Lord. But do you know what his message was? We need to bring the gospel back to Jerusalem. His life, even though his team, his friends, the church completely gone for 30 years, people died, he just kept that pointer. The Apostle Paul never made it to Spain. But the ultimate plan of God is greater than our own lives. He's a pointer to what God plans for all of eternity and for all of mankind, that people will need to lay down their lives for the gospel to get to the ends of the earth. And he just started to share this vision to the churches in China. One of the young persons, his name was Ezra Jin. He was a young seminary student in 94. He was able to hear and meet some of the people still who survived that and started to then bring that message to the church in China. Ezra Jin planted a church in Beijing, Beijing Zion Church. Good friend of mine. In fact, he was the one, after the Lausanne Congress that Chris Wrighton were part of in 2010, the Chinese 250 leaders were arrested and they were not allowed to attend the Congress. But 2 years later, he said, Dave, let's plan a mini Lausanne of Chinese house church leaders. I'll bring 100 leaders to Korea, and then you bring 200 international leaders to Korea, and let's hold a mini Lausanne conference, even though we couldn't make it last time, but let's do it there. And so he started to travel around, and he met with the house church leaders, and he would just say, he wouldn't even tell them why to show up. I want you to come and meet me at this conference. And then I had to bring global leaders. I invited Chris Wright, invited many people to come to meet with the Chinese leaders who may or may not show up. It was at that conference that one of the Beijing pastors said, he shared the vision, we want to now send 20,000 missionaries by the year 2030. And so that started to launch this mission movement out of China. And it's this, the people who laid down their lives before them inspired the next generation of pastors. And now the Chinese church is on that road. Again, God's gospel message over succeeds our human life, but yet we are willing to pay the cost and people will go because they are hearing that message. This is the house church pastors that I've been working with. The one in purple is Ezra Jin. You can pray for him. BBC just announced it, including New York Times, as well as CNN. You can Google him. He was just arrested 2 months ago, and now he's going to probably be sentenced for several years. But he said, praise God. When they asked him, what are you going to do? What? He says, praise God, because whenever we suffer for the Lord, there's going to be revival. The Chinese church knows that the suffering is part of the method of how God gets the gospel out to the nations. When Jesus says in John chapter 20, 21, as the Father sent me, I send you. Jesus was sent by the Father, laid down his life for us on the cross. And we believe him because he died for our sins on the cross. But he also has commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations. And he says, just as the Father sent me, I am sending you. The method of how the gospel gets to the nations is the same way. There is something about the method of missions tied to the suffering of the cross. When I was doing my PhD studies here at Oxford Center of Mission Studies, there is a terminology that it was really hard for me to find in church history. Because most of the time when I was looking at church history, I was looking at the Catholic churches when they were talking about suffering, and I was looking about even in the early church, when the early church was under suffering, was primarily about keeping the faith, or it was about participating with Christ in his suffering. But I didn't find too many examples of suffering tied to missions until I started to learn from the house church in China, from these passages that the Apostle Paul, his life was pretty much that. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He had that all out for God, willing to die because he knew that that suffering was part of his life in order for the gospel to get to the ends of the earth. So this is the cave we're in the island of Patmos, where John, imagine this, he's probably 80, 90 years old. He's exiled. All of his friends, all the disciples have been martyred and killed. The church is being persecuted all across the Roman world. And he's exiled in this cave. If you go to the island of Patmos, it's pretty much still an island. There's some tourist places to go visit, but it's a remote desert island. And God came and spoke to them there. And he wrote the book of Revelation. And as we were in Turkey, we also were able to visit a city called Hierapolis. And you have to do this if you ever have the chance. We didn't even know that, but as we were sitting on this golf cart, because my wife had just had leukemia, so she couldn't walk up the long trails. And so the driver said, oh, do you want to see where the Apostle Philip was martyred? And we're like, what? We just discovered this maybe about 10, 15 years ago. It's a very new site, so most people don't know about it, but we can take you there. So we walked and we went to the place, and this is a place, that tomb there is where the Apostle Philip was crucified upside down. And Bartholomew was also crucified upside down in the city of Hierapolis. And tradition states that while he was crucified upside down, he was still witnessing to his executioners. And so they stopped the execution of Bartholomew, and he died of his... I'm sharing you this is just to let you know that it's not just Jesus, it's the first disciples. They all laid down their lives. It was at the cost of their lives that they brought the gospel to us. And the birth of Christianity is all included with the suffering message of the cross. But I don't want to just end with suffering, because suffering sounds really gruesome, because who wants to just suffer? The theme that we have chosen for Arise Asia, now we're going to have the second conference. We're bringing about 8,000 young people from 40, 50 countries across Asia. This is going to be held in Manila. But the theme that we are choosing is this: for the joy. Hebrews chapter 12. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Let me tell you, the life of a missionary, yes, there's many difficulties. Yes, there's a cost. Yes, there's suffering. Yes, there is challenges. But the joy of serving the Lord, following in his footsteps, realizing that through a life that is following in Christ, you cannot, I tell you, I would not give my life up as a missionary to become a pastor, to become a seminary professor, which I've both done, to even be a businessman, which I wanted to do when I was younger. The life of a missionary really is one of the most joyful things. And the cost of mission is this. It doesn't mean that everyone's going to die. I just want to say, just be honest with you. Not everyone's going to die. I haven't died yet. But the mindset is this. If we die, for me to live is Christ, to die is what? Gain. We're going to be in heaven. So there's no loss if we die. If we suffer, we participate with Christ. We see the gospel expand through suffering, because that's how the gospel is brought throughout the nations. So if we suffer, the gospel gets extended. And even if we can't see it, one day God sees it. And he, just like Simon Zhao, 31 years in prison, 7 people died, didn't even get to see anything. They go to heaven, but the Chinese church remembers, and now the next generation goes. There's no loss if we suffer. Of course, there's a little pain in that suffering, but it's temporary. But if we live, like Apostle John, who survived 90 years, he eventually, I believe, probably dies of an old age, but he's exiled, he still suffers, but pretty much he serves a life of that serves Christ. There is no loss. The only loss is not following in the footsteps of Christ. So young people, especially upstairs, I think you're upstairs probably because you probably want to say, I'm on a little distance from the speaker. I'm going to challenge you. Young people from all across Asia now are getting ready to offer their lives to go where there's no gospel. And they're getting ready to lay down their lives to choose a people group that has no Christians. And they're going to suffer or be willing to suffer. And I'm going to challenge the UK church, Christians in this room. I'm going to challenge All Souls Church. You should join together in sending your young people, or even yourself, to join the next missionary movement of young people who will go where there's no gospel, lay down their life, following in the footsteps of Jesus, so that the gospel may be preached to the world, to all the nations, to the ends of the earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you tonight, I know it's a hard message to preach. The cost of missions is really just a life willing for the sake of the gospel, to give the best of our lives, the best years of our lives, to bring the gospel to an area that does not know your name. And Lord, I know there's going to be difficulties heading there, but Father, we pray that you would participate and support and encourage and lift us up, hold us close to you, but as we follow in your footsteps, that we would be joining in this great master plan that you had from the very beginning of time, that we would be going into all the world to preach the gospel to all the nations. And may our life be full of joy as we follow in the footsteps of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.